You know, I'm a collector of quotations and pieces of wisdom, and unfortunately, I don't always absorb the ones that I collect. But one that I saw a long time ago that I still am working on, because I still think it is great wisdom, is this. When you're in your 20s, you worry about what people think about you. When you're in your 40s, you don't care what they think. When you're in your 60s, you realize they were never thinking about you at all. I don't know about you, but I have always spent an undue amount of energy worrying about what someone else is thinking of me. I think all of us struggle with that at least a little. And with this quotation, I find great comfort in the freedom of thinking that others aren't paying any attention to me. When you're young, you like the thought that people are paying attention to you. And when you're older and you realize how many mistakes you make, you're kind of glad they're not. I find comfort in it. When I'm free of worrying about what other people think about me, and I can find that freedom if I trust God to give me my self-image and my sense of worth. Thomas Keating, who is a person very well-versed in the contemplative tradition, speaks about what happens to us internally and even permanently if we allow too much worry to enter us about other people's approval. He says this, once that sense of I locks in, what follows is a full-scale emotional uproar. That then simply drives the hurt deeper and deeper into the unconscious, where our response to it becomes even more involuntary and mechanically triggered. He is saying that if we allow other people to hurt us, if we allow it to say something about our very selves and our very essence instead of just moving on, that we have let this hurt in, and the more we do it, the more it becomes part of us. We worry too much about what this world thinks of us and what this world demands and expects of us. If we can trust in God, then we can distance ourselves from any hurt that has been inflicted on us by other people, and we can move on. Mark's gospel today tells a story of Jesus being in a boat with his disciples. He is asleep. And they become extremely frightened when a storm comes up and threatens to swamp the boat. The story says that Jesus awoke and rebuked them, saying, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Think about how this story started. The beginning of it says this, "When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was." What does it mean to leave the crowd behind? As much as I would like to use this kind of gospel story to preach about the anxiety-producing technology of our time, about leaving the phone behind and the worries of technology behind, I think this story is actually about something much more important and essential in the human condition. Leaving the crowd in this important context means being able to operate without the crowd's approval. It also means being able to leave the hurts behind instead of allowing them to drive our current or future behavior. If we cling to those things and want to keep bringing them up, then we give them power over us. We internalize them and they change us. There are plenty of storms in the human condition to assail the little boats in which we travel. We face real loss. We face death and the illness of those we love. We face economic anxiety, wondering if we will have enough to live as we hope to live. Those are very real worries. But many of the anxieties that we experience, the storms that threaten to swamp our boat, come from our internal worries and not from anything real or truly threatening. And if many of those worries and anxieties are self-inflicted, that means we can train ourselves to keep some of the storms away. Instead, we invite them. We forget that Jesus is in the boat with us. We invite them by being unable to leave the crowd behind. So how can we practice a way to leave the crowd behind, to measure ourselves only through what God has defined us to be? How can we break this instinct to take everything personally and to escalate the emotional uproar? We have to disengage from the hurt. We don't simply brush the hurt away in the bravado of repression. Instead, we recognize it, we allow it, we investigate why it hurts us, and then we practice letting go of it and not identifying that hurt with our own essence, with who we are. For me to do that, I have to separate myself from the hurt. And instead of dwelling on the hurt, I have to move on with grace and mercy and forgiveness, both for me and for the injuring party. We do have the power to keep the false drama from winning out and changing us into a cynical person. But we have to practice a neutral state where we gain our meaning from God, from our trust in knowing that Jesus is in the boat with us. If we get our sense of value from other people around us and are unable ever to leave the crowd behind, then we put ourselves at the risk of emotional trauma all the time. We just kind of tip our boat to the side and invite the storm in. We have gifts that we can bring to benefit the crowd. But the paradox is for us to find those gifts and to strengthen those gifts, we have to engage in the practice of sometimes leaving the crowd behind. We have to forget about what other people think about us. As we get older, we realize true wisdom. They were never thinking about us at all. And by assuming all along that we had to measure up in another human being's estimation, we have invited constant drama and conjured up in our own minds, but capable of hurting us nonetheless. By letting our sense of worth and self-image rest in the hands of others, we invite the waves of the storm to overwhelm our boats. Why not simply trust that Jesus is here with us? Why invite the storm to join us in our inadequate little boats? Why should I spend one more ounce of energy thinking about them, thinking about me?